You're listening to TJ Talks. This podcast probably is going to contain a lot of explicit language, so you're forewarned.
Welcome to TJ Talks. I am Judd.
And I'm Teresa.
Hey, welcome to Sunday. Sunday.
Sunday fun day. Here we go.
I'm sitting here in the podcast studios here on the East Coast. I've got 3,000 monitors all around my head, and I'm drinking a Reed's Ginger Brew. Loving it.
And I'm sitting here in the West Coast studios with one monitor, one iPad, and a Diet Coke. But I'm wearing a Reed's Ginger Brew t-shirt, so that's all that matters.
That's good. I will tell you.
What are we talking about this week, Jed?
Man, we got a bunch of stuff. Late night is shaking up.
I'm so excited.
So we're going to be talking about some of that. We'll reveal it as part of the opening. Okay. And we're going to talk about, advice columns.
Do people read them anymore? Do people write to them anymore? Yeah. And I have a columnist that I want everyone to look into.
Oh, good. And we are going to talk about repackaging for gender. And we have a sponsor today, so that'll be exciting to hear our latest.
Another sponsor. We're just blowing up Madison Avenue with these sponsors.
I'm telling you what. And you know those folks that make these commercials? I think they do a freaking fantastic job.
Yeah. They put Don Draper to shame.
Do you watch
that show, Mad Men?
I should be watching it.
I don't watch it either. And the whole new season starts tonight. And I thought if I could invest the entire day just watching the first four seasons, I would do it. But I can't. So
this is the worst part. Talking about shows, and the other things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about something called the 10 and the 20, which is where do you want to be in 10 years, and where do you want to be in 20 years from now?
We are going to talk about that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And we're going to talk about Captain America a little bit. Just give a little bit of some movie commentary today.
Yeah, we both saw it.
Because it's blowing up the box office out there. Mm-hmm. And let's see, Easter Passover is coming up, so a little conversation about that.
Get your peeps.
Toastmasters International Speech Contest. I'm the Sunday morning here, the big loser, so I should have.
Oh, you're not a loser.
So I should have got drunk off my ass last night. So.
Well, that part you should have done anyway, but you're right. Not a loser.
Yeah. So we have lots of stuff to talk about today, and let's jump in.
And you're happy with the Stephen Colbert pick, correct?
I am fine with the Stephen Colbert. I'm extra fine. I really am happy with Stephen Colbert.
And what is your opinion? Is he going to be Stephen Colbert, or is he going to be just Stephen Colbert, the normal?
He's the real deal. He's the real person.
He's going to be himself, not his character, Colbert.
It's been reported already.
Oh, he's our – oh, then never mind. Okay. I wonder if he'll revert into any of it or do any of it.
You know, I believe – this is what I think they're going to do. I think there's going to be a transitional initial show. I think he's going to come out as goofball Stephen Colbert from the Colbert Report.
Right.
I think he's going to come out. And if they do things right, they're going to get David Letterman to meet him on the stage, and they'll do something crazy like put a helmet on his head or put him in a machine and convert him into the real Stephen Colbert is what I think that they're going to do.
That's clever. If they did something like that, I think it would be well received and probably a good move for him because he is so ingrained in those fans of his, like myself, in that character. And that's what I love about him. Although I recognize now and maybe a little bit in hindsight, I've seen his show sort of turn a little bit, right? And he's doing a lot more musical guests and musical numbers himself, and he's sort of being more of the entertainer that I think he's really capable of being. And I think he's going to be great. I think he's going to do just fine. I think he'll have that job for a long, long time. He's not going to beat Jimmy Fallon.
Okay, that was where I was going to go next. So
he's not. And do you watch Fallon at all?
I do, occasionally, but I don't get it. I have to watch it on the internet because right now I don't have cable, but I'm going to get cable. I will talk about that in a minute. But at my current place, I have no cable, but I will be getting cable.
Welcome to the 21st century. You've got to get some cable.
At my next place that I'm living. I'm living in the diaspora right now.
That's where you are right now. Yes. I don't get that channel on my cable, so it's the diaspora channel. Ultimately, Fallon is doing phenomenally. He's as cute as any one human being could be. And I know that sort of diminishes him by saying that. But what I mean is he's attractive. He's likable. He's smart. He's funny. He's very embracing right now, middle America. And we've been fans when he was on the 12:30 show. Yeah. I always record his show. I usually try to always watch his least his monologue and his first comedy bit. Right. He's been changing in this 11:30 spot to be middle America likable. And I've noticed, you know, he's had the Sarah Palins on, he's mm-hmm. had guests on that I don't think would have come on a show before to be that way.
Right.
And I don't mind it. He's got to do Jay Leno, Johnny Carson. He's got to do that shtick. Well, he's doing it really well, I think.
Well, so does Stephen Colbert. And of course we got guys like Rush Limbaugh going.
But Dave never did the Leno likability thing. Letterman always had his own air about him. I don't think he ever wanted to be America's sweetheart, especially when he didn't get the 11:30 Tonight Show.
Well, that's true. Then he said, fuck him.
Yeah, he decided to be a little different edge, and he's maintained that for a long time. And I get it, and I understand why, and I do think he's very funny too. And I believe every one of the late-night hosts now would just pay total homage to him. And, you know, I know Jimmy Kimmel for sure was a huge fan of Letterman, always has been growing up, and said he formulated and sort of shaped his view of comedy for so many comedians right now. So he's important in that regard, but he's not middle America. And Fallon is working hard to be middle America. And I don't think Colbert will have to. I think he'll just have his own built-in audience based on Dave's.
I think there's some of that. But you know what? I think there's people who they like Dave, but they don't know this guy from a late-night perspective. And I think that they'll give him a week to figure it out.
It's true. He will have a very short window of time, whatever it is.
Which is no different than why Conan O'Brien got fired from The Tonight Show.
I think that was still a shame. I think that was just handled badly, and I know everyone around that situation would agree, because Leno just wasn't ready to go, obviously. So shame on him for ever saying he was in the first place. Shame on NBC for changing their minds after the decision was made. That just reeked of bad management.
Oh, in every way. But yeah. they've kind of figured it out. I guess they turned everything over to Lorne Michaels.
Yeah, there you go.
If it's humor, comedy, whatever – Lorne Michaels.
So who were your runners-up for the job? Because I wanted Louis C.K. I heard his name being bantered around. And, of course, he even had a thing about that on his own cable show that you probably have never seen either since you don't.
Yeah. Well, I thought that they would take what's his name? The Scottish guy.
Ferguson.
Yeah, Craig Ferguson was going to get the spot because he's actually very funny and likable.
He is.
And I thought he would have a good move. Some people thought they were going to bring a lady in, like who was it that they were talking?
I heard Tina Fey and Amy Poehler as a team were talked about, that they could both be doing it. Chelsea Handler, her name was tossed out there. Yeah. You know, she's so on E.
Ellen's name was out there.
Ellen, yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
She would never have done good in the late night spot.
Oh, I don't know. I think, you know, I'm reverberating some input I have from my other favorite podcaster, Adam Carolla, who has friends who were writers for the Ellen show and were writers for the Rosie O'Donnell show. Mm-hmm. And that these gals are very interesting to work for, and that on TV they're super fun, and Ellen's always dancing and everybody loves to dance, and she's super cute, and Rosie O'Donnell had the Chubb Club and was all about Tom Cruise and blah, blah, blah. And then behind the scenes, they were just giant cunts to work for. And maybe that's true. Maybe that's not true. Maybe it's men just being nasty to women. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it does feel like when you have to pour it on that thick on the air, that maybe you're not that nice. I don't know. I think that's why Dave is great, because I think Dave is that aloof kind of guy in life and at work.
That's what they say about Stephen Colbert, that he, when he's not in the Colbert persona, that and you like they get to meet him and party in the green room, that he is just like super awesome nice.
Yes,
that's what they claim.
And I'm sure he is. I was excited to see Jon Stewart's little homage to him.
I guess I'll have to get on there.
He did a nice little thing congratulating his friend Steven, and obviously they've had a good natured rivalry in that he came from the Daily Show and did all that, so I think it's always sweet. I think Stewart is just a class act. And I don't know if he was ever considered for this job or not, but if he wasn't, he should have been. Stewart could handle it very well.
Yeah, you know, the only reason Stewart shouldn't do that show is because of his political comedy. He is so, that is his, he owns it.
Well, so does Colbert, though, right? I mean, he has a conservative persona that's all about being a liberal.
No, but I mean, I think that the space would be missed if...
Oh, that he... Yeah, if he vacated the Daily Show to do a talk show like that. Because, I think you're right. And I think I think mentally he wouldn't be stimulated just talking to celebrities about that kind of thing. He likes, you know, if you watch his show every day, which I do pretty religiously... He usually has authors on 9 times out of 10 before he has celebrities on, which I think is great. And he always has just a different take on their books and appreciation. And he goes on both sides of the fence. He has conservatives versus, you know, progressives. And I appreciate that. So I read a Bill O'Reilly book based on on him being on there. So, you know, and other I get it. So. And I would have never done that before.
Yeah. So that's why I'm just kind of, you know, I mean, he could do it, but then I think that that political comedy space where it's not as evil, like you take a Bill Maher, for instance.
Yes.
He's a dick. And, you know, and I think he's funny. Uh-huh. I think he's funny, but he's really much more of a dick about his comedy. And there's space for that. Out there
on HBO there is but
sure there is and but he doesn't have the like you want to go out drinking with that guy and be his friend or whatever. You don't want to sit and have a coffee with him because you know that he is gonna totally, you know, drop his drawers and take a dump all over everybody.
Yeah, you're right. He doesn't have that, you know, hang out with me kind of thing.
I should totally censor that because that's just too graphic for anybody.
No, I think it's pretty appropriate. I agree with you. I do watch a show when I catch, you know, when I get a chance to catch it. I'm excited for the new John Oliver show that's coming on to HBO. Uh-huh. I think he did smashingly when he took over for Stewart during the summer. Yeah. He's funny. He's smart. He's British. I get it. I like all that about him. So it'll be interesting to see how that does.
So one last thing on this. Who takes over for Stephen Colbert?
Oh, I wonder if they're going to go with if one of the other Daily Show guys or gals will jump in there. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised.
So I'm thinking it's one of two things is going to happen. It's either going to be like Samantha Bee, like you said, it'll be a Daily Show alum, or they're going to just make the Daily Show an hour show.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine writing that show for an hour every day? I mean, not that there isn't enough news, but the way they make it so timely, I can only imagine what the day is like in that writer's room trying to get the stories done and ready for taping at 6 o'clock at night. Well, I can't imagine making an hour out of it.
I know. And well, and then of course you'd have to, the only thing I would think is you'd have more in-depth investigation, joke on you, humor stories, you know, in-depth.
Yeah, I'd personally love it if they made it an hour because I love the show, but that just seems really intense.
Or more interviews. More
interviews
guests.
Would probably more work guests. Too. Yeah. No, that's true. That's very true. I can't imagine though in this day and age, and there are still politicians and people who do it, when somebody calls up to book an interview, yes, I've got Rob Riggle coming in from The Daily Show to interview you about your piece of legislation or whatever, and that anyone says yes to that and thinks that they're going to come out of it smelling like a rose. Like, either those people are so egotistical and narcissistic they don't get it, or they've lived under a rock and they don't see The Daily Show. How does anyone say yes to an interview?
I don't know. Oh, here's the other way they could do it. They could also have a panel discussion.
That might be interesting.
After they do like the first half of the show, then they go into, all right, let's bring out our regular panel guest to talk.
Would be Mar-esque, and I like that idea. They should.
You know, I mean, so they have a lot of different ways that they could make a bigger show if they wanted to.
It'll be interesting because, you know, I think Stewart is, and I hope this isn't true, but I think he's on the decline, right? Like, he's made his movie that's going to come out later this year. Mm-hmm. I bet it'll be successful, so he may want to go in that direction. And I don't mean decline as in he's not good at the show anymore. I just think like he's on the downhill of wrapping up the show based on the fact that he'll have other projects and things that he wants to do.
Yeah.
I hope that's not true, but with the movie and everything else that he's involved with, it wouldn't surprise me. So I don't know. I don't want him to leave. I love Jon Stewart.
Yeah, Yeah.
So, and congratulations, Colbert. I'm excited for him too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we really did a good job. I think we covered everything you could possibly want to cover.
Lord knows, if you want to talk about TV, I'm your gal.
I know.
Well, it can't watch itself, so I have to spend countless hours doing so.
Hey, we've hooked everybody up. There's nothing else, nothing left to talk about with Stephen Colbert at this point.
Maybe I need to write a letter to Dear Abby saying, please advise me on how to quit watching my TV.
Talking about Dear Abby, what a transition that you have. Let's go into advice columns. Let's talk about that.
Okay, so I, in preparation for today's show, I Googled top five news stories of the week. And, okay, the plane's still missing, the Dow is in the shitter, you know, all these things that are coming up on the headline there at Yahoo News. And then down below, it's Sunday, so they have a comic strip, and it happens to be Snoopy or Peanuts or whatever, which I love. And then they also have the Dear Abby column for today. Mm-hmm. Now, Ann Landers died last year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But Dear Abby's still alive?
I think the one of the sisters is still doing
it. Yeah, they're sisters, yeah, right? Yeah. So I looked at that, and I thought, you know, I haven't read a paper, and I can't tell you how long, a physical newspaper. I'd like to think I keep abreast of the news based on our internets and that sort of thing.
You said but, abreast. Sorry.
You can't be a boob of the news. You have to be abreast of the news.
Yes.
And looking at a paper when I was younger, the first thing I would go to is the horoscope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is always on the same page.
Yeah, totally get it.
Of the Family Circle comic and then the Dear Abby, Dr. Laura, whatever, whoever, you know, would have these things. And you would read the questions and you would go into the whole thing with them. And it's just – it's funny because I don't know that people do that very much anymore. But I have found someone – and this is – she's been doing it for a while, although I should rephrase that. She's not doing it at the moment, but there is so much backlog of it on the internet that it's absolutely something you can still keep seeing. A woman named Cheryl Strayed does a column called Dear Sugar, and it's the same kind of thing. You write in and you get advice. And like, okay, this question – I'm going back and forth here, but this question happens to be to Dear Abby. And she says, Dear Abby, I'm in a tricky situation. My boyfriend of 4 years – Ian, she calls him, and I took a break from our relationship for 2 months because he was scared he'd miss out on the single life. We started hanging out again soon after, and everything fell into place. We were talking recently, and he mentioned that he's planning to move across the country to San Francisco to be near his family. He made it plain that he wants to live on the West Coast forever. I'm close to my family, closer than Ian is to his. We're both 24, and while we're not engaged – or not going to get engaged anytime soon, I'm not sure what I want to do. We love each other, but the geography is causing so many issues. Please advise. Now, what would you advise this woman if you were an advice columnist?
Well, it's the whole thing comes down to...
Oh, I got to tell you this. I'm sorry, interrupting you.
Yeah.
But her name, you know how they always give the phony names at the end of the letters? Yeah. It's just entitled, Please Advise New York Girl.
Oh.
So in standard... advice columnist way, you have to start your reply to her with, Dear New York Girl.
Yes. Dear New York Girl. Snap out of it.
That's good advice.
He obviously doesn't want to be with you. That would be my advice. That he's choosing, he may not want to leave the East Coast, but he's choosing to go to the West Coast really because he can't commit. So if he can't commit, you're going to either have to follow him if you really think that's a deal that you could have, or you say, done, screw it, and move on. And break. You're going to have a heartbreak, and you're going to go through that, and you know, there's plenty of shoulders to cry on out there, and you know what that means.
You just want Dear New York Girl to call you. And
yeah,
say.
Yeah, dear, I got a buddy for you, don't worry. Plenty of fish out there, don't worry.
Okay, I mean, yeah, your advice is dead on, and essentially what she says is, you know, it's good that you aren't planning to become engaged anytime soon because you have serious things to do, and if they were to have a family and being close to her family was important, well, being in San Francisco is nowhere near New York, and that's just not going to work out in the long term. But I think your point is even more dead on, is that if he's even considering this move without you, he's not fucking into you.
That's
and
right.
that is the blatantly clear statement that he's making by choosing to move to San Francisco. And that would be – that's where I think you and I would be good advice columnists. The way I feel that the Dear Sugar Cheryl Strayed is dead on in her advice is that she takes the real heart of the problem. Not that he wants to move and what should I do, but he wants to move and doesn't want to be near you, bitch. So get over it and find someone who does. That's that. I think the whole world could benefit from that level of honesty more and more.
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about even trying to have a show where we would, you know, have callers call in with dilemmas or whatever. And we've never really been able to orchestrate that. But I love this idea of – well, I love the idea of thinking that I could give advice to anyone on anything because I really don't think I'm qualified to do that.
You know what, though? We are qualified. We're in our 40s. We've lived life. We've had relationships. We know – you know, we're well – read, well versed in the universe of things, and I don't think there's any one person that's that much better at it than anybody else, that as long as they've had life experience to back it up.
I agree that, yeah, if you don't sound like you're talking out of your ass, that you're the right person to give advice. Yeah.
I mean I can give good advice, I just do stupid shit, so.
Right, and as long as you listen to what I say, but definitely not what I do, then I think you're right.
Don't fall in love. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah. So,
but I'm like a mosquito to the light.
Yeah. Right. No, I think it's true. I think I remember growing up as a teenager and reading the paper and reading the column every day, and I guess maybe some of that landed in my brain somewhere. Mm-hmm. In the sort of right and wrong way to handle problems. But I don't know that I would ever be the person to write a letter. Do you think you could do that?
Yeah, I think I could. I could. Okay. Yeah, because with all the craziness in my world that I've had, I think there's plenty of questions.
It's kind of like the Post Secret website, postsecret.com, that we love, with the exception of Post Secret doesn't get to write you back and tell you how to solve your problems.
No.
But I like that interpersonal stuff.
Yeah. No, I do think that if somebody out there would like to send us anonymously or whatever, they could tweet us, whatever, a question, we'd be more than happy to respond right here on the show.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We'll give you our 2 cents.
Mm-hmm. Might even throw in a nickel or a dime.
There you go.
Drop it on the floor. Oh, drop the dime.
Hello. All right. Yeah. So read Cheryl Strayed's book, Dear Sugar, well, Tiny Beautiful Things. It's a good one.
Dear Sugar, she is on therumpus.net.
Correct.
That's where you can find that column. So,
advice on love and life from Dear Sugar.
Yeah, Cheryl Strayed. And if she's listening to this podcast, because we're going to tag her.
Oh, yeah, we're going to tag her in it. Yeah. I follow her on Facebook. She might mention it. You never know.
We would love to interview her on our podcast. So throw it out there.
Love it.
Okay. So is there more that you'd like to talk about that?
No, I think we're beating it.
Rolling it down. Let's see here. I just real quick, I'll talk about this Toastmaster thing. So right now, we're in the middle of the International Speech and Table Topics Contest season in Toastmasters.
It just rolls off your tongue, doesn't it?
It just rolls off. I'm going to throw up. And I made it through a number of speech contests because I'm just a plain old Toastmaster, and I can compete for best speaker of the world.
Yes.
And I wanted to go to Kuala Lumpur really bad, so I was really trying hard because Kuala Lumpur is where the airplane that disappeared flew out of.
Oh, yeah, that's bad for Toastmasters.
I know, and that's where they're meeting for their
international convention.
Yeah. Personally, I would rather go to Vegas. That's
everybody would. I don't know what
You know, every like third convention is in Vegas with Toastmasters. It's either Vegas.
People want to go there.
It's Vegas, Reno, and then
Orlando.
You know, they've just rotated around
convention towns,
yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, I made it through my club, made it through my area, and I made it to division. So I did my speech at division. And I thought I had a kick-ass speech. Mm-hmm. I got to come up with some new material. I totally do.
Well, okay, so you didn't win this particular leg of the contest. Now, you've given the speech now. That was your fifth time?
Third competitive time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so is the material just tired to you? Should you have revamped it all, or do you feel like you made the right decision in going with what, you know, dancing with the one that brought you, or
what? It needed to be a personal story. That's the deal. And I see it now. But I still think I should have placed. That's all.
Okay. So, fair enough.
Win play show, I didn't even meet it there. So, but it's going to be a long time before I compete again, at least in this division. Not in this division.
In this division. Yeah. So you went to the dinner, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so did you get a cocktail before you went up?
I did. I had a glass of wine. Okay. Oh, it was good.
And usually you do these things at like 9 or 10 in the morning, right? Usually do them at night. This is a different format.
This was a lunch meal thing. It was sit down.
Oh, it was lunch? Oh, you're drinking at lunch?
Oh, hell yeah. It was 11:30.
I know, I liked you, Judd.
I had a glass of Chardonnay, Jackson, yes.
Good for you.
Knocked it out. And, I could have had a couple more. It would have been much better.
Yeah, I think, maybe that's the deal.
So I think I should have giggled my way through, because if I would have been funnier, I totally would have done better.
Humor does connect with the audience. So next year. We'll get him next year.
No, I can't do it next year. I'll be the pro. So I'll be...
Oh, you're going to hold an office so you can't compete.
Yeah, I'll be running the show as the pro.
All right, year after next.
Year after next. I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'll do one next year.
Are you?
I'm not an officer anywhere. I could.
I know. You should. You should totally. I'll help you.
To talk about.
5 to 7 minutes. Anyway, so good luck with the people who won. I don't actually feel bad about who won. I think that they had a great speech. I got to watch it. They did a good job. And I think that he's got a shot. I honestly, I know what the judges are looking for at the international level, and he doesn't have a shot at the international level, but
yeah.
not with that. You have to have that getcha moment. That has to be
You have to be the Vince Lombardi / I don't know. You just have to be Sheryl Sandberg / TED Talk / speaker. That's what you need.
Yeah.
Showmanship and emotion, all of that.
Yeah. And I mean, thinking about my speech, I did have some personal story to tell. But mm-hmm. my personal stories were based on my interactions with other people online.
Okay.
So, that's why it was weird. But hey, right. Next time. I'll come up with something else. Okay. At this time, I think we ought to take a break for a word from our sponsor.
Here we go. I can't write with this pen.
Why can't you write with this pen?
Well, this pen is a man's pen.
A man's pen?
Galette, the makers of the same product remarketed for a specific gender, brings you the female pen, Pengina. Just like the pen is doing for a man, the Pengina does for a woman.
I didn't realize that women need a special pen, but now I get it.
Get your hands off my Pengina. That's mine. You have your own pen.
The Pengina comes in pink, but writes in black, blue, or red. Get yours today, available at fine stationery and drugstores.
It just feels so good in my hands.
Okay, well, there you go. Wow.
Who knew that women needed their own pens?
I don't understand it.
Thank God somebody in corporate America knows that women need their own devices.
And this is the real deal. Even though, you know, these wonderful ads that we have.
The good people of Galette.
Galette, yes. And the reason we decided to make fun of them is because they make gender-specific items, the real company. They're like their razors, you know. It's the same razor repackaged, one for men, one for women. It's just a color. It really is.
One's blue and one's pink.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it's crazy.
In fact, recently they came out with the Gillette Body, which is a Venus packaged for a man.
For razors now we're talking.
For razors, yeah. Yes, it's the same razor, it's just a different color. But that way a man doesn't have to feel like, I need that lady's razor so I can, you know, shave my unmentionables. And then you see the commercial, and there's a guy in the shower, and you see him with his chest, and, you know, and then there he is, shaving his chest in the commercial.
What? I've never seen this commercial.
Oh, you need to see the commercial, yeah.
Oh, all right.
You know.
But the men's razors don't vibrate, right?
Yeah.
Like the women's do.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the razor I use for my face is a vibrating razor. I love
it. Okay, that's, first of all, just wrong for so many reasons. Why would you want to shake a 7-bladed device near around your face and throat? That doesn't make any sense to me. And for women who to have the vibrating razor, I think maybe for the wrong reasons, that whole thing makes me nervous about where they're putting it.
Well, okay, I'm going to tell you what. First off, Okay, we're going to have this conversation.
We've already had it, but yes, let's have it again.
So, first off, I use the Mach 3 that vibrates. It only has 3 blades.
Okay.
And it doesn't vibrate like you think. It just, it's very micro. Understand.
Why does it have to vibrate at all? What if you just had a small palsy? If you had a small stroke, you would just vibrate yourself. And as we get older, I think that's what's going to happen for us. I got the alcohol shakes or whatever.
It just seems like it cuts better.
No, it doesn't do anything better. It's just another way to charge $3 more for a razor.
Yeah, but I've used the same razor without the batteries running, without the thing. And I'll tell you what, it seems like it glides better down my face.
I'm going to leave this at that. There's only one reason for a vibrator, and it's not to shave anything. So you're never going to convince me otherwise. It's not going to happen.
Okay.
On that note, but let's talk about women's and men's pens, because this is a thing.
Yeah.
And the Bic for Her pen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. What is the tagline on it? That it comes, of course, in the feminine colors, because women can't possibly write with a blue pen or a pen that is colored blue on the shaft. It's crazy.
This is
elegant design. We have to use thin barrel to fit a woman's hand. I mean, really?
Exactly. Why do they do this? I don't know. I mean,
And what woman is motivated by this? Like, that's the person I want to meet and shake violently and say, what? I understand clothing that's cut for a woman, and I'd rather have a woman's cut t-shirt than a man's t-shirt. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a woman's pin. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, there's an article in Forbes from a year ago, and they were talking about it. And the joke is, go to Amazon and you can read all the reviews about this pen on Amazon.
You know what's funny is I'm saying this to you.
Yeah.
And I don't have one right next to me. It's in my briefcase. My very favorite pen ever, and it's a pen that my father was a fan of Parker pens. Mm-hmm. I love Parker pens, ballpoint pens. Mm-hmm. And they're just clicky tops, and, you know, they write nicely and smoothly. And they used to only come in silver tops with a blue bottom or a black bottom or burgundy, right?
Burgundy, I remember that. Yeah, sure, yeah.
Okay. And so my dad had, I don't know, over his lifetime, probably 1,000 of those pens around our house. So I remember loving those pens. And now, as a grown-up myself, and I tend to buy more expensive pen for myself because I do like to write in a notebook. I like how it feels. I do. There's something about penability or whatever in your hand. So I've been buying those Parker pens, and JP loves them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So every time there's one laying around the house, we're always grabbing after it, like, oh, that's my pen. No, that's my pen. Or that's, you know, I had this one. I had that one.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have taken to buying the one that Parker makes to support breast cancer. It's got the little thing on it, and it is pink on the bottom. And now I'm sitting here thinking to myself, well, I buy that one so I know it's mine at home.
Right.
It's pink. And the other ones are blue and burgundy, and, you know, we fight over those. But I just like the way that it writes. It's not any different shape or size because of the color. And, you know, it's pink. That's the only separation of it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just realized that I guess I do gender specify mine, but it's more out of property and –
But it didn't have to necessarily be pink. It could have been red to support the red thing or anything to differentiate that one is yours.
It's just that pen that way. So, but I do love it. And I do love having I love the fact that when people see that pen at an office or in a meeting, oh, that's Teresa's pen, because they know – they always see you with that same pen. I think there's something to that. It's like a signature style for your signature. I don't know.
Shall I read a couple of – Amazon.com reviews.
Yes, I want to read the reviews.
Okay,
yes.
This is from Tracy Hamilton. This is on Amazon for the Bic Crystal 1 millimeter black pen for her ballpoint pen.
Okay.
5 stars. Finally, someone has answered my gentle prayers and finally designed a pen that I can use all month long. I use it when I'm swimming, riding a horse, walking along the beach, and doing yoga. It is comfortable, leak-proof, non-slip. It makes me feel so feminine and pretty. Since I've been using these pens, men have found me more attractive and approachable. It has given me soft skin, manageable hair, and has really given me the self-esteem that I needed to start a book club and flirt with the bag boy at my local market. My drawings of kittens and ponies have improved! And now that I'm writing my last name hyphenated with the Robert Pattinson last name, I really believe that someday he may marry me. I'm positively giddy. Those smart men in marketing have come up with a pen that my lady parts can really identify with.
I love that. That gal's got a good sense of humor. I love it. Yes, I love being able to, you know, go horseback riding and swimming while using the Bic for her pen.
So if you go on there, right now there's about almost 2,000 reviews. Some very funny ones are out there. Oh, a PhD approved.
I love it. That's great.
As a female PhD candidate, I'm so relieved. These pens are a thing. I've been having a very difficult time trying to write my thesis without the appropriate instruments. Writing is difficult enough for me due to my breasts, uterus, emotions, etc. To have to use man's pens on top of that has made it near impossible. Now, thanks to Bic, I feel like I'm in with a chance. Even though I may not be as rational, intelligent, or capable as my male counterparts, at least I have my pens.
That is hysterical. Very fun. I love it.
So if you're looking for a good laugh, this is, you know, misogynistic, in-your-face mother effers.
That's great. That's great.
Love it. So enjoy a whole afternoon of Giggle Fest on Amazon in their reviews. All right.
All right. Well, what's next on our hit parade?
Well, let's talk a little bit about Passover Easter real quick. Easter Passover.
Are you dyeing eggs?
No, I'm going to be cooking eggs, though.
I'm teasing you.
I know. tablet.com has had, or tabletmag.com, whatever they are. That's one of the little Jewish online magazines I read. They're kind of Jewish culture thing. And they have some online greeting cards for Passover that are very, very funny. And one of them is, you say Happy Passover, I say, Welcome Atkins Diet Week. Because you can't eat bread. No bread products at all. So it's going to be like steak and...
I need to be Jewish, yes.
Yeah, it's like a whole Atkins diet for a week. So I figure I'm going to lose at least a pound.
That's a good thing, actually. It could be, you know...
I know, I eat a lot of eggs.
Dieting for the Lord.
Yeah.
Passover and Easter aren't always at the same time, right?
Oh, they are. They are always at the same time.
Why are they?
I know that there's a difference on how it works out, the reason why they are. Like, Easter is supposed to be so many days, after a certain thing.
Easter's always the first Sunday following the first full moon of spring.
Okay, well... Isn't that funny? Because that's a lunar event.
And Passover is always the 14th day of Nisan.
Correct.
On the Jewish calendar, fixed date.
Which is based on the lunar calendar.
So spring always starts on March 21st, right?
No. Does it?
Spring always starts on March 21st, yes. This vernal equinox or whatever.
Is it? Is it always the same?
Yes. So then whenever the full moon is kind of always the first part-ish of the month, or no? I guess not, huh?
No, that's why I was saying. Is the vernal equinox?
So it changes.
Does it not change? Well, it says Thursday, March 20th is the vernal equinox.
Or maybe it's March 20th, but it's always the 20th. Like the Sumner one, the autumnal, they're all the same day.
Huh.
First day of spring, first day of summer. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that they were fixed to the...
This thing on the internet says that they aren't always at the same time, but they're kind of always around the same time.
Okay. But so I do know that they move. Like, Passover will get moved almost a month out, just like Easter does. Sometimes it's in, like...
Sometimes it's in March. Yeah. And this is a really late Easter this year.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't do a lot for Easter. We're kind of heathens, so we don't do much for that.
Are you
cooking a Seder?
No. Not this year.
No. Are you going to one, though?
I tried to find one. I couldn't find one, so no, going to skip it.
What do you mean you couldn't find one? Go on Craigslist.
I called the temple. They're like, nah, we ain't doing a community center. I'm like, oh, fine, fuck you. So,
really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't just go over to the rabbi's house?
You know, I just show up. I don't. I'm not a member there, so whatever.
Bring some
Manischewitz wine. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I brought a $3 bottle of wine. Hey, let me in. My name's Elijah. I brought my own wine this year.
That's the whole topic. Why can't grapes be kosher? What's the?
Oh, you got to have a kosher vineyard because the grapes are like, you know, from sort of the biblically speaking has a very special like thing going on there. And you know that's what Noah did with that movie Noah's Out. First thing that Noah did when he got off the ark, built a vineyard, grew some grapes, got drunk, and then his son came in and uncovered his nakedness, whatever that means.
Interesting. Okay.
I know. I think that happened in the movie, and all the religious people were upset because the only thing they knew was that the unicorns died. I don't know. I saw it in a coloring book. I don't know. Rainbows and unicorns in Noah.
So yeah, I haven't seen that movie. I don't think I will.
No. I kind of want to see it because it has two hotties in it.
Who's the two hotties?
Jennifer Connelly. Yeah.
She's that hot.
Really?
Okay.
Oh,
I don't.
Oh, I like Jennifer Connelly.
Really?
Yeah.
She's a little plain, isn't she? Which, I sound horrible. Lord knows I'm the queen of plain, but I don't think she's that great.
And then they got the Harry Potter chick in there, Emma Watson.
Oh, Hermione?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's pretty hot. Yeah. But she's also young.
Yeah, it's true.
Maybe that's why. Yeah. At least consistency in that.
Yeah, well, hey.
All right, so Peeps and Manischewitz are in our future.
That's right, Peeps and Manischewitz. And the neat thing about Peeps is I think that they can be kosher for Passover because there's no leaven in marshmallows. There's a lot of marshmallows.
No, I wouldn't think so,
A lot of marshmallow treats on Passover. In fact, they should make, like, matzah-style Peeps.
Matzah Peeps.
Yeah, like little mini matzahs, but they're Peeps.
I love it.
I think I have a marketing strategy here.
You never know.
Combine the best of two holidays. Matzah Peeps.
They can make them yarmulke-shaped or whatever.
Yeah, they sure could, yeah. Dreidel Peeps.
Dreidel Peeps.
Because they make Peeps all year round for now, different holidays.
They do. You can get a Halloween Peep.
Halloween Peeps.
I think that's horrible.
Isn't it?
I'm a Peep. I mean, I'm kind of a Peep traditionalist. I want them only at Easter. I really want them only bunny shaped or duck shaped. I don't want them any other shape.
I'm thinking they should do them during Christmas time, and they need dreidel shaped Peeps.
Yeah,
totally. I'm totally in on that.
Make it happen, Judd.
I'm writing a letter.
All right. So 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you'll be the Peep mogul.
I will be the guy. You know, we didn't think about it, but it was a great idea.
It worked. Wished I'd have thunk of it. Get on Shark Tank.
Shark Tank.
That's where you need to be.
You know, there's only like how many Jews in America? We're going to sell it to them all.
They'll all love it.
It's a strategy that can't lose. Okay. All right. Let's do Captain America and then we'll finish.
God, let's do Captain America. I mean, yeah, let's do Captain America.
Indeed.
God, that guy is so handsome. Like, it's stupid how handsome he is.
Is that right?
It is, Judd. I'm sorry. And you can like your Hermione and your Jennifer Connelly.
Absolutely.
But give me a Captain America now and again.
No, that's good. That's good. Good.
Take that shield any day. Yeah.
So where did he come from?
I don't know anything about it. I'm subjected to these cartoon things because I have two boys, right? So trying to be on board and hip. And also I'm married to a Disney guy. So now all that Marvel Avenger stuff is Disney property. So I'm thrilled to be able to go to a special screening at the studio to see Captain America, which is what we got to do last week.
Did you get to meet Captain America?
No, I didn't get to meet him. But but we got to see the movie in a very special environment. And it was 3D and it was super fun. So that was cool. So that added to my enjoyment of the film, I'm sure. The way we've been able to see a couple of the other Avenger ones. I think we saw Thor that way. Either way.
Nice.
I'm not a science fiction person. I'm not really even a superhero person. I love me some Wonder Woman just because she looks great.
I hope they make that movie.
But I think it was great. And the story was really good. It's very compelling.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting point it was kind of busy, right? There's a lot going on. And sometimes movies like that make me a little crazy because the action is so fast. It almost makes me dizzy because there's so much to look at. But I appreciated the story. It was able to be believed, even though it's nonsensical and crazy. It's not really going to happen. But the theme of it was, you know, totally ensure peace in the world moving forward, that we're going to have to eliminate a bunch of people. And do we want to live that way and take this algorithm that's going to determine who's going to be good or bad and use it? And so it was thought provoking and it sparked some good conversation for us on the ride home from the movie. So I really liked it. I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. And damn, he's good looking. Like, he's just, because then I see Thor a couple months ago or last year, whenever it was. And I'm like, oh, that guy is hot. Right. And
so who's hotter, Thor?
Well, this is a dilemma for me now, right? Because then you still got Iron Man. And I would never toss Robert Downey Jr. out of my bed, so I can't really say.
So what you're telling me is that when you see an Avengers movie, it's like the total, like, women should be, like, flocking to this more than guys.
Well, right? Yeah. I mean, even Scarlett Johansson. I'd take her, too. She's great.
Oh, you know, there's some women that are hating on her for whatever reason. I thought she did a great job.
And she's good in the movie. Yeah. Yeah, they're attractive. And I think, I don't know, in a way that Robert Redford is in this movie too, right? And I've always loved Robert Redford. And of course, now he's of an age where he's substantially older than I probably should find attractive, but I still do. And but something about these guys that are these little characters, they're just very, very titillating, exciting, fun. And it's all nonsensical, like I said. So it's fun.
I'm doing a bunch of sit-ups tonight.
You need that blue latex. And I'm a flag lover, right? I think it was Betsy Ross in a prior life. Anything red, white, and blue, I will absolutely wear. I'm a big supporter of the flag. And so he's got that going for him, too. You know, Iron Man doesn't sport red, white, and blue everywhere, but Captain America does.
Captain America.
And it's fun because the kids talk about who could beat who in a war, Captain America or Superman or whatever. And it's fun to have these discussions, you know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love me some Captain America.
Yeah, he was kicking some butt.
He's box office king for the moment.
Yeah, I saw something about Rio going on, Rio 2. Did it beat
Did it overtake the number one spot? I can't imagine it would have, but maybe it did.
I thought there was something going on out there.
You know, I'm sure for a lot of people it's spring break week or whatever, so everyone's going to these younger movies. There aren't a lot of really great movies out right now based on
There's nothing. But I've seen I saw another movie just little quick movie thing, Bad Words.
Oh yeah, how was that? I love Jason Bateman.
Man,
too.
You know what? This movie is so funny. Hey, turn around.
Yes.
So
it is funny, isn't it?
Yeah. Jason Bateman plays this character. I'm not going to give away this movie, but in the movie, he has to go, and he's going to totally tear up a spelling bee that's designed for kids.
Okay.
And you're taking on this journey with Jason Bateman and this girl that he's with that wants to figure out what the heck is the reason for him wanting to ruin a child's spelling bee.
Okay.
And through the process, he befriends this little, like, 11-year-old Indian kid.
Okay.
And he, the one thing about this movie is he's using a lot of kind of racial stereotypes and epitaphs and things with this little kid, you know.
Right.
And he's just mean. He is just Jason Bateman. He just tears people up. He's insultive. He's mean. He's everything.
Really? Okay.
Oh, and he's funny about it. Some reason you still want to kind of like him. You want to give him a pass.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's weird.
Probably go see it. I like him a lot.
And so then I'm like, and then I'm sure some people will figure it out long before I figured it out. I didn't figure it out right away. I knew there was something up.
Okay.
But they
well, spoiler alert, don't talk anymore.
They distract you enough to not let you know.
Okay.
And and you appreciate the ending at the end of why he's going through this whole debate of what he's doing, and everything just kind of works out at the end. I mean, not that I don't think it's spoiling too much to say that you'll feel good at the end of the movie.
You'll laugh, you'll cry.
Yeah, it'll come a part of you. Yes.
All right. Okay. I like me some Jason Bateman. So.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe I just like all these movie stars.
It could be, but I mean, he does as much as he does shitty things. He doesn't make you feel shitty about it when you find out why.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I will probably see it. Did you watch Arrested Development?
No.
Eons ago. It's a very funny show. You should Netflix that one. It's very good.
Yeah, that's what
I
hear.
He's great in it. He's great in it. So.
Okay. So there's some movie stuff if you're looking for a movie. Finally, we're going to talk about the 10 and the 20.
All right. Let's talk about the 10 and the 20. So explain this premise to people because
okay.
What do you mean by it?
Well, the 10 and the 20 is where do you want to be in 10 years from now in your life? And where do you want to be in 20 years from now in your life? And I kind of think that when I was 30 and 20 years old, I never thought about the 10 and the 20. I wasn't really
correct
thinking about these things.
Right.
And maybe people should be at a younger age thinking about the 10 and the 20.
No, I think you're right. I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, right now with my teenage boy, I'm talking about the 5 and the 7, right? Like You got 5 years to get, you know, from eighth grade through to college, and that's a big deal. And you don't get to mess around because if you don't do what you need to do, you're not going to get where you need to get. And it's hard for people or kids at that age to understand.
Cause you live forever.
So I think it's important. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're immortal, right? There's no reason that you wouldn't be. So, and then at that point when he is in college, I think I'll start talking about 10 and 20 and wished that somebody would have maybe done that with me or for me or something. Although, I guess, you know, we wouldn't be who we were if we had that kind of guidance going on for us.
I mean,
I'd be successful.
But it's stuff like investing in stocks or saving money. And I mean, I remember having these conversations, but I didn't really take it as serious because I didn't figure out how to carve out the money at the time and have someone really sit down with me and say, okay, you're going to live to be older than 30, you know?
So you got to prepare for that, right?
You have to prepare for that. And right now, while you don't have expenses and you're not married and you're 18, 19 years old, and the Navy, really, they were the bad people on this because they're the ones who should have. I know this sounds weird, but I believe the Navy should have spent more time from a mentoring standpoint to talk to
I think high school should spend more time doing that, right? I mean, we didn't take any life preparedness classes in high school. And especially now with the disjointment of most modern American families, not I shouldn't say most, but a lot of families that, you know, a life class or whatever would be really helpful for a lot of kids, I think.
I mean, right. I mean, if you look at it in particular.
And yeah, the Navy should have done it for you too because you were still of that prime age to still take it in.
Well, you know, here's the thing about the Navy, and you think, oh, well, it's just a job, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
And so your employer doesn't have any responsibility to do anything for you other than send you your paycheck. But I will tell you this, if you're an officer in the Navy, in the military, they hook you up about investing.
So they once you reach a certain level, then they start taking a more direct approach with you.
Well, no, a junior officer, a fresh ensign out of college, goes right. Day one in the Navy, let's say, they bring him into the officers' community. They sit down with you as a peer mentorship, and they talk to you. I mean, this is a career-oriented world.
Right.
And they say, okay, you should be investing your money, a percentage, in this kind of thing, so that when you're done with your career here, you're going to have a savings.
And in theory, you're done with your career when you still or a point in life when you could work another 20, 25 years,
that's
right?
Right? That's
I mean,
right.
Most – what is the average Navy retirement, 25 years in or 20 whatever?
To, 20 to 25,
yeah. Are people now serving 40 years because they can
no.
I wonder?
About 20.
Everybody gets out at 25,
about 25,
right?
20 to 25, generally.
And there you're vested fully with that and the pension that comes with that, right?
At 20 years, you can get a 50% of your base pay for the rest of your life.
And so if you joined when you were 18, 19, 20 years in, you're not even 40.
38 years old, you're collecting a check half of what you made on active duty.
And you have another 20 plus years of being really marketable in the workforce right. to make and invest more, right?
But here's the thing. Because that people philosophy-wise think, oh, you got a pension if you stay for 20, you don't need to invest anything. So they don't teach you about investing money.
Well, none of us want to think about using that money for, you know, stability. We want to use it for fun.
But the reality is not everybody stays in for a 20-year career.
Right.
So if you don't stay in, guess what you get?
You don't get it.
You get zero. Nothing. Focus. Yeah. You're done.
You get
what
the rest of us got who didn't serve at all.
Right. So that's why people need to be told, taught, understand.
But Judd, you could tell people all day long, smart people, dumb people, it don't matter. People are going to do what they're going to do. It's like sex. Money is not something you can really emotionally understand until you do or don't have it the way you do or don't need it. I think the same is true about sex.
Yeah.
People don't get it until they don't get it, and then they realize what they need to do to get it. Sometimes it's not always pretty.
And then it goes back to money, doesn't it?
And it goes back to money.
Yeah.
No, well, you – okay, so to start this segment out, you talked about, okay, where do you want to be in 10 years?
Yeah.
And if somebody would have asked you that 10 years ago, would you describe this life that you have today?
Yeah, let's see. Living in a 500-square-foot apartment in Cocoa Village. Yeah, that's no.
That's always the way you planned it, right?
No, but next month I'll be living in a bigger – a condo.
So we can't talk about the specifics of it. I mean, you know, do I want to be living in a house? Yes. Do I want the house to need a new roof? No. But right. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm at. So
right. But what do I want? I guess just career-wise, I don't want to be in a dead-end job, and I don't want to be in a dead-end relationship that is just a matter of existing. I don't think that I'm an existing kind of guy.
Okay.
Fair enough. What do I want to be? You know, it's kind of that Maslow's hierarchy kind of thing.
Yeah.
I want to be able to be, you know, surround myself with people who are creative, that are into success-driven relationships, that care about doing more than just, what do you want to do today? I think I'd just like to sleep all day.
Wait a minute, where do I find that person?
I know. Well, only if it involves sex.
Well, then you're not having sex if you're sleeping all day.
Well, you know, you get up, you have the sex, and then you get tired,
and then you go back to bed.
Okay,
well, then you have your priorities.
And then one person wakes the other one up with some more sex, and then you go back to sleep for a little bit more, and before you know it, it's already time for dinner, and, you know, you have to, like, call for pizza.
So what are we doing, I use this term collectively, we, to ensure that we're not on a 10-year dead-end path, right? Like, are you always updating your resume and looking for new gigs and this and that? And
I am. I totally am.
I do, too. I try to stay fresh, right? Yeah. However you can.
I have the little thing at work because they have this thing where I work where you can get the latest jobs.
Yep.
And so I am always getting that, even if I'm not applying for jobs, but at least I'm aware of what's going on or in my surroundings. And
absolutely.
Update my biography because our company has a little biography thing they want us to keep up and things like that. So we're doing that sort of thing.
I think that's a good plan, actually. I definitely – that's why I like LinkedIn. I don't have a company that has that kind of job line on it, but LinkedIn gives you – just kind of lets you know what's out there, what's happening, what's, you know – it doesn't mean you want to jump ship. It just means you want to see what else is available or where – when you see a job that, would I be qualified for that? And you read the description of it, you're like, well, that's what I'm doing right now. So I guess that's what I could call my position at this moment. So I think that's important. I think that's – to be ever evolving is just – I think it's crucial.
Well, and the other thing is that you want to be able to have a measuring stick
mm-hmm.
to know, am I in the right path or am I not? So you take your life and your career and everything, and you're stacking it up against some measurement that you choose as your measurement, whatever that is.
Right.
Maybe you're looking at other people that do the same job as you or do different types of jobs, and maybe they're getting paid more money than you, and you do more work or less work or whatever. Are you comfortable where you feel, you know what, the money's fine, and I don't have to work so hard. So, fine, I'll just stay where I'm at. Or maybe you'll say, you know what, I could work harder. I'm not afraid of a little hard work. And you know what, by God, if somebody wants to pay me more for this kind of work, I'm going to go get that.
Then that's what you do. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a way to go.
So, and you know, whether it's whatever it is in your life, I mean, for me right now, career and education are really kind of important. So,
I feel you on that. I think I need to do a little more of that myself. Mm-hmm. We should talk about that. Let's table that for the next podcast.
That sounds really good. Well, I think we've had some great conversation today. Perfect yeah. conversation.
That's been good.
We have
the Captain America talk alone was good.
Yeah, we talked about Stephen Colbert, talked about advice columns, repackaging for gender, a little bit of Toastmasters stuff, at Easter Passover, peeps, get them, Captain America, and the 10 and the 20. So, lots of good stuff. Buy a pen, go to Amazon.
Pick for her.
All right. For TJ Talks, I am Judd.
And I'm Teresa.
And we'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. Talk to you later. It just feels so good in my hands.